about a week or 10 days ago, we had Jason Hayward on. He's always been very willing participant on the Waddle and Sylvie show. He's always got thoughts. We love talking to him. He's a great leader. And I didn't think that we'd be putting in the request this quickly. But when I thought about people in this city and the important voices that they can talk about and things that we can't, Jason Hayward was one of the first that came to our mind. And I was very happy to hear that he was willing to come on with us today. Jason Hayward from the Cubs joining Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Thank you for doing that, Jason.
No, I appreciate you bringing me on, fellas. Good afternoon. And you know, again, just thank you for thinking of me when you think about these topics and what we got going on right now.
And Jason, so just if you could explain to us how you're feeling about just everything right now.
How I'm feeling, it's sad to see. But I feel like this is on a broken record, so to speak. You know, I'm 30 years old now. Growing up in McDonough, Georgia. My dad is from Beaufort, South Carolina. My mom's from Queens, New York. And my dad, you know, would always share things with me, my brother and I, about how we need to be careful, how we need to be aware of how the world is going to look at us. And he didn't do that just to do it. You know, that wasn't something he was proud of having to do and having to explain. But it was something from experience that he could take and know that he went to one of the first integrated schools in South Carolina, you know, integrated movie theaters, you know, having separate bathrooms, things like that. You know, in 1989, I was born, and a little before that time, or right around that time, my parents were living in New York. And that was the time of, you know, when this documentary, When They See Us, came out about the five African-American black kids that were, you know, framed for doing something wrong at being in Central Park when they weren't the ones that did it, you know. So it was just a scary time for him. But to me, you know, bringing it back home to the point of it feels like a broken record and where we're watching a rerun, I feel like these things continue to happen over and over and over again. And you have people continuously and helplessly trying to find a solution.
So and the solution is important, and it's going to take a lot of hard work, I assume, Jason. But where do we start? For someone like Waddle and me who have not walked in your shoes, like you just expressed, what can we do?
What can you guys do? Hats off to you for having me on, for having this day and these segments, you know, just isolated for these conversations. I think that is a big deal. I hope you don't take that lightly when I say hats off to you. I mean, I commend you guys for that, man, because the beginning of it is people being willing to listen, people being aware of how serious other people's concerns are and taking that into consideration when they go on about their day. While everyone has different views and different concerns and, you know, I feel like ethnicity, race, gender, all these things, people have their own struggles, man. But I think at the end of the day, right now, we're seeing a lot of conversation about this that we've seen before, but I think it's being spread a little bit faster through social media, through LeBron James, through the rest of the NBA, through other athletes, you know, through people that are starting to, you know, look around and say, you know, I'm not African-American, I'm not black, but this affects me too. This affects my kids. This affects them going to school. This affects my friends and their families and their generation. So I think, I don't know, I guess woke could be the term. I feel like everyone's a little bit more woke right now, regardless of how ugly things have been, how hard things have been on the people that are being affected most.
Would you say the peak of your concern has to do with you being a father?
The peak of my concern? Well, I mean, I have family. You know, I have a big family. I have friends. I'm going to be a father one day, hopefully, you know, God willing. That's going to be something that, you know, I'm going to have to express to my children, right. And that's a responsibility of mine. It's one of those responsibilities that, you know, everyone does not have. And to me, yeah, like that's going to be a big weight on my shoulders. And I've seen it through my dad's eyes, he was able to relax a little bit more as we got older, as we got established, my brother and I, as we kind of paved our way into this world and realized, hey, like, you know, what he was saying and what he was trying to show us is that you got to be ready for whatever. So to me, I have a lot of lessons from him, a lot of lessons from family, a lot of life lessons in general when it comes to racism and how it can affect people.
Jason Hayward joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. How different is it to be an athlete, Jason? I mean, do you look to sports and say sports is what's united people from all different backgrounds, or is there still work to be done even in professional sports as far as relationships with other people?
I feel like, you know, sports, anything, life, I feel like it comes with everything. You know, there's good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's definitely a lot more, you know, bonding. There's a lot more people putting differences aside, a lot more diversity in sports, and people being understanding of someone else's concern. Because you go to work with these people. You watch them leave their kids. You watch them sacrifice. You watch them push towards common goals with each other. And to me, that naturally, you know, brings people together. And that's from a player perspective, as an athlete perspective. Fans, I feel like very similar thing. But, you know, on the other end of both of those perspectives, I think at the end of the day, people do go home and people are raised differently. People do have different histories in their family. And, you know, to me, there's a certain amount of respect you have to have for that. But at the end of the day, hatred is hatred and evil is evil. And when it's hidden, it's one thing. But when it's put out there for everyone to see, it's pretty blatant.
Jason, do you believe that sports is a vehicle by which some of the healing can take place, or do you think that's asking too much of an industry like sports in general?
I don't think it's asking too much. I think it's a platform. I think it's a part of entertainment. You know, like I was saying a little bit earlier, I think these guys speaking up right now, men and women speaking up right now and using their platforms as a voice, as a positive voice, you know, using their aim at the right things, at the right demographics and the right people, the right industries. I think that is going a long way in 2020 with what we're taking on. So I definitely think sports is something that can be a vehicle to help. But you always got to be aware, unfortunately.
Jason, I sort of remember this, but I'm not positive. When you left the Cardinals, and this isn't something about St. Louis, but it's more about society. Mm-hmm. People were upset at you because you chose the Cubs and you didn't pick the Cardinals. And I remember looking, I think you were on Twitter back in those days, and I looked at your timeline and I was disgusted. And we brought that up. Can you share that experience and what that is like to see that over a sports decision?
I mean, I guess I'll share it. And what I can say about it is that, you know, much like any, you know, African-American, much like any black person would understand, that wasn't my first time dealing with racism. You know, that wasn't my first time taking heat or getting shit from someone because they weren't happy with a decision I made or weren't happy with what I was doing, and they chose to use that way, you know, to try and get under my skin or to get at me or show how upset they were. You know, being from Georgia, you know, it's a real thing there, you know, and I mean, I've seen this stuff, you know, from time to time. When I first decided to go play baseball, you know, start like take travel ball seriously, I guess, in high school, you know, I was going to go play for a team in East Cobb. And my dad was like, hey, like you're trying to pursue a dream and you're trying to go join a business. You're trying to be a professional baseball player. And I just want to let you know that, you know, certain things may happen to you along the way, but I don't need you to come complaining to me if someone calls you the N-word. I don't need you to come complain to me if someone, you know, talk shit about your mom, your family, this and that. You know, come to me if someone's, you know, putting their hands on you. But other than that, like, you need to be ready for all these things that are going to come your way. So playing in Atlanta, growing up there, you know, I remember being in the minor leagues in Atlanta dealing with racism. And we were playing a team. The Mets were in Savannah, Georgia at the time. And we're the Braves. We're playing in Georgia, right? We're playing, you know, a New York City team, a minor league affiliate, and I'm with the Braves, and I remember fans down there being racist towards me for no reason. So as far as the St. Louis situation, you know, I felt like I understood. You know, people were going to be upset. People weren't going to be happy. But my mindset with that was that I did my job. You know, I did what I had to do for myself. I did what I had to do for my family. And that was after the fact when it came to the decision. But the impact of me leaving and them being upset, I feel like I did my job there and made a good impact on the city of St. Louis.
Jason, do you still experience that today in 2020 in a major league ballpark?
I would say it's, I see it less now directed at me. I can't say that I don't see it in places. You know, I won't, you know, single out any places that I do, because to me that's not important. But it still does exist, and I think that's the message that needs to be put out there. A lot of us, you know, still deal with that on a daily basis. And you know, again, we don't make excuses for it, because everyone has a struggle. Everybody has a hustle. Everyone has something that's tearing at them and nagging at them on and off the field. But this one is just, as we can see right now, I mean, the reason we're having this discussion, this one is on a bigger scale, because there's a lot of destruction going on right now that has been based off of, you know, someone's actions and hatred.
Jason, how do you balance the intense desire to get back to being a baseball player and getting back on the field and doing what you love with also the emotions that you have as an African-American now? Or is this just something you have to do both every day you wake up?
I mean, you got to take that shit in stride. You have to. You don't have a choice. You know, we didn't choose to be black. No, just like you guys didn't choose your race, ethnicity. We didn't choose to be where we're from. This is just what was given to us. So, yeah, we don't have the luxury of trying to separate that. It's just a part of it. You know, you drive outside in your neighborhood and, you know, you're in a different neighborhood than you know, a lot of other people that are black, and, you know, they don't look like you, and, you know, people are going to look at that differently. But it's just, it's because it's not normal. And I think that's the big thing. You know, regardless of whether someone's racist or not, they're still going to be curious, because they don't see a lot of people that look like you around. So as far as getting ready for the season and staying locked in there, this is what I do. This is what I love. This is a passion. Got a great city to do it for in Chicago. So that's, to me, there's nothing going to stop me from doing that. And whether it's hatred or whatever it is, I mean, I made it to this point. And that's something we all have to deal with. And I got no excuse, and I don't ever plan on using that as an excuse going forward.
And Jason, something that I've said to you before that I've really appreciated as a kid who grew up here is the way you've embraced this city, the charities you've given to, the way you love this city, like you grew up here. You have a true love for it. So when you see on the television the looting, because a lot of people have said to me, and I'm trying to learn all this, that the root of everything starts with George Floyd. Without George Floyd, that's where it starts. That's the problem. And the looting is to make people listen. But I'm sure there are better ways, too. So that's where I'm conflicted. What are your views when you see the looting of a city that you love?
Well, at first I'll say, you know, the root of this is from George Floyd. But that's yesterday. That's a few days ago. Right. What about right now? What's going on? What about what happens tomorrow? What about 20 years from now? Just to keep that real. But when I see people doing this in the city, I see confusion. I see anger. I see hatred. And these are all things that people deal with as human beings on a daily basis. You know, you have some people going out there with a certain message that they're going to put out. You have other people going out there and following and thinking they're doing it for the right thing, but they don't exactly understand it. You have other people going out there just for their own gain and want to be out there and be a part of a movement, you know, so to speak, because it's 2020 and social media and news travels fast. You know, some people don't want to miss it. So for me, attitude reflects leadership. And I'll always say that, you know, from sports to being a parent to, you know, running a business. And I feel like when you see law enforcement, you know, make certain judgments, lapse in judgment and having situations like this where you have people grieving and hurting, you're going to see a lot of people that feel like if police are supposed to be leaders of this country and supposed to protect and serve, then they're not going to know how to take that. And they're going to look at that as, all right, well, if they don't care, I don't care. And to me, that's the trickle-down effect. And what sucks is there are a lot of good cops. There are a lot of great cops. So I'm friends with some, you know, close family friends, to where they're going to take a lot of heat for this as well. And at the same time, on the other end, from the people that are going out and doing peaceful protests, you know, those aren't the ones that are getting put on the news, right? Those are the ones that, you know, you see LeBron tweeting about and trying to post and shed light. You see other people, you know, on social media, whether it's comedians, whether it's other athletes, actresses, and whatnot. They're trying to push that vibe because it's happening. People are doing it the right way, but you also see people doing it the wrong way because, again, attitude reflects leadership. When you have hatred, when you have anger, when you have people that dealt with this 40 years ago, when you have people that dealt with this 20 years ago, people that dealt with it 10 years ago, people for the first time dealing with it now, you got people at all different walks of life who have different, you know, to me, different emotions about it and different thoughts on how to handle it.
Jason, I apologize for the awkward transition. I don't mean to be insensitive to ask you a baseball question, but are you getting more confident that, in fact, you're getting closer to an agreement that would lead to a Major League Baseball season?
I mean, the only thing I'm confident in is the fact that I'm going to be ready when that happens. That the fact that my teammates and I are doing a great job of staying connected and we're working hard, having fun, and enjoying, you know, the new challenge. And I feel like you guys have heard me say that. Yeah. About our team, about our group. You know, we enjoy challenges and we have fun with them. So to me, in my mind, this is a new normal again. And I'm working out, having fun, worked out today earlier. Spending time with my family, spending time with my dogs best way I can. But as far as the season goes, I feel like, you know, only a certain amount of that I can control. And I think the best thing we're doing as a players union is just everyone trying to be aware, trying to stay on the same page. And after that, we let the process run its course. But I do know that we hope to have baseball. I do know that we all want to get back out there for ourselves, for the game, and for the hard work that a lot of people put in. But for this country right now, because we do need something to bring everyone together.
That's for sure. Yeah. Jason, I can't thank you enough for picking up the phone. This means a lot. I think it's important for our listeners to hear all this, and hopefully we'll all be better for it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jason.
No, absolutely, fellas. And I'll just leave you with this. I mean, like you said, as I was coming on, you know, everyone's not going to have the same opinion. Everyone's not going to agree, but having the conversations, putting it out there, and being aware of how we're all thinking as different individuals is a huge step in the right direction. So I appreciate you for that.
We appreciate you. Yes. Jason Hayward from the Cubs.